All right, so we are speaking with Mendy and Keith Obadicki, whose show Number Station Furtive Movements is from September 10th through October 10th at the Ryan Lee Gallery in New York. Is that right?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
And can you tell us a little bit about the show?
Yeah, so the piece is a sound installation and sort of a micro radio station in the gallery. And for this piece, we're using stop and frisk data, sort of self-reported data from the NYPD.
And so using the idea of a number station, which is a kind of station that you might hear anywhere in the world with they're called number stations, but some of them are numbers, some of them are other strange sounds, and they live in this place between electronic music and spy communications. So we're using the idea of number station as a kind of form for our piece that uses the data from Stop and Frisk.
And I guess the numbers are kind of different here, or are they similar? Is it a kind of a code for, are the numbers released by the police department a sort of a code for something else? Is that a
Well, I mean, the numbers reported by the police department are very literal. I mean, they are numbering the number of stops and frisks that they do from each precinct. So if you can get this data from the ACLU or the NYCLU, and so they'll say, precinct number one for this quarter of the year they stopped, 134 people, right? And so we're taking that number submitted by the precinct and we're turning that into sound. So if that precinct stopped 134 people, then we make that into 134 hertz. And so that's how we're generating sound from this sort of self-reported data. Now, in the original number station, yes, you're right. I mean, they are broadcasting code that is sort of decoded on the other end somehow. Our information is not encoded information. We're literally sort of reperforming these numbers that are part of this database.
But it is kind of a code. I mean, I guess, is it true? I think I've read that they don't collect the information about how many police officers shoot people or shoot unarmed people, and that's part of the missing data here.
So there's no sort of recording of that information. And the other thing that's come out over the years is that, these numbers, even this sort of stop and frisk data, has been sort of massaged a bit in order to make the departments look good. So sometimes they're underreporting, sometimes they're overreporting. And so you can see certain patterns across the years. And we hope that you'll be able to hear certain patterns as you listen to sort of what we're making from these reported numbers.
And as you look at the data, the numbers from precinct to precinct might vary, but just as interesting are the numbers from quarter to quarter and within the same precinct. Those numbers, we hope that you'll be able to get a sense of that range being really an interesting thing over time.
And I guess I'm not unclear on the geographical location or limitations. What are you just taking New York City numbers or certain precincts or where the gallery is located or what is the
We're doing all of New York City.
All of the reporting, not all of the precincts report, but all of the precincts that report from New York City.
How are they allowed not to report? I mean,
That
what sort of precincts don't report?
Well, we know the numbers that don't report. I mean, you're able to trace it, but for example, from 2003 to 2013, precinct number 20, 121 doesn't report, but then they start to report it in 2013.
So, why that's possible?
We don't know.
We don't know. I'm not sure.
And what surprised you? I guess you've looked over a lot of numbers lately.
We've looked over a lot of numbers, and so we haven't really done a thorough study of where every precinct is. But it's just astonishing to see that one precinct might stop 1,000 people in a quarter, and then the next precinct might stop 10 people.
Right. I mean, it's that different.
So those things are interesting. But, you know, as we were looking at these numbers, we were also sort of reading stories about the reporting. And so we know, for instance, that some precincts are trying to keep the numbers manageable, right? So they want a high number so they can show that they're being productive, but they don't want the number too high because they want to be able to improve on that number the next year, mm-hmm. right? And we know this because of whistleblowers, because some police officers have recorded sessions with their supervisors where they say that this kind of alteration of the numbers has been done. So for us, this is interesting since we're making sounds from this piece. It's almost like we're collaborating with these sort of creative numbers coming from the NYPD. It's like they're giving us a score and we're sort of playing the score that they've given us. But it's definitely creative work being done on both ends.
Was it difficult? I mean, you've kind of found a way to make manifest a issue that is kind of, I mean, just the numbers themselves that you can gloss over and you don't really understand by looking at rows of numbers. I guess this is more visceral that you, by hearing the thing repeated over and over again, you kind of feel the repetition or feel the problem more.
Well, yeah, I mean, we hope to make it visceral to people in a new kind of way. I mean, mm-hmm. certainly it's shocking if you look at a report and you see, you know, 2,000 people are stopped in one quarter. But we think that it's a different kind of, you know, embodied experience when you're sort of listening to sounds go past you and all of a sudden you hear a 2 kilohertz sound. I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, that can be a kind of piercing, high-pitched sound. And so we want people to be able to feel these sort of peaks and valleys in this reporting, just as they're listening to these sounds go by them.
And have you played this for people? Have you got a reaction so far?
This is our first time showing the piece. Yeah. So, you know, we've been sort of thinking about the piece for a long time and sort of collecting information for this piece, but we weren't exactly sure where, in what kind of context we were going to show the piece. I mean, we got interested in it when one of these first whistleblower stories in this time period came out in 2010. There was a police officer in Brooklyn who was sort of reporting, he was recording his supervisors because they were pressuring him to bring his numbers up, among other things. And so we got interested in the recordings then. We were interested in the numbers, but at that time, I don't think this information was widely available. And in the last couple of years, the ACLU has made it available as police brutality and stop and frisk has been more in the news. More people have had access to this information.
And it's interesting. I mean, I think those kind of stories have piqued the interest of a lot of people. And the data is interesting, but it is kind of difficult to get your head around, as you were saying, until you think about different ways of becoming aware of the differences. I mean, so that has been how we've been thinking about aesthetics and the piece. You know, how do we become aware of the range? How do we become aware of how things change over time and from place to place? And you can even, you know, without looking from precinct, you know, what this number precinct is, this place, you can kind of feel what that place is like by the numbers over time, you know, as you sit with the numbers. So that's an interesting thing that I've come to understand by trying to make my way around the data.
And it sounds like from what you said before that some people may, their personal experience, the numbers point out, may be that they don't see that there's as much of a problem with police and community relations. But a couple blocks away, there could be this artificially created situation where people's lives are being like harassed and changed drastically because of some mandate to reach certain numbers.
Yes.
It's really clear, like, you know, like there's one, I won't get into the specific numbers, but yeah, from one precinct that's in the thousands and the next one that's in the tens. I mean, you can tell that obviously something is happening, you know, to require those numbers stay high. You know, it's when you get a sense of that difference is when these numbers have meaning.
And can you give us a description of how it works when somebody walks in and there'll be a continuous feed, or and will you be able to tell that you're in you're talking about Precinct 17 data then, or is it a big collage that's how does it work?
On Wednesday night, we're sort of doing a live performance of it, meaning that we're playing the sounds in real time and we're reading the precinct numbers and the reported numbers of stop and frisk for that precinct. So we're reading those in real time against these sounds, against these sign tones generated by the numbers. And after that Wednesday night performance, a recording of that will play in the gallery on a loop. And there's also a kind of low power sort of shortwave broadcast. There's broadcasting on 13.65 megahertz. So that's happening. It's a kind of low power thing. But yeah, so if you walk into the gallery, what you're going to hear are our voices reading numbers, and you're going to hear these sounds generated from the numbers.
And are they coming through radios, or what are the speakers?
Two speakers mounted on the wall. Yes.
And how does this? Can you explain to listeners that may be unfamiliar with your work? How does this relate to some of your past work?
So in the past, we've done a lot of things with numbers, and we've done a lot of things with data. About African American bodies. So we've done things about DNA in the past. We've done things about color coding through numbers. And this is part of a new series where we're using number stations as the form. So we're doing a series of things all using number stations, where we're looking at. There's a book from the late 1800s called The Red Record by a journalist, Ida B. Wells, where she collected lynching statistics from the late 1800s. And so we're going to read the numbers from that book in a number station piece as well. That's the piece that we're going to work on after this.
I was going to say that using the sign tones related to letters or numbers, that was also another practice that we've used in the past as a part of praise songs as well. So that aesthetic form is one that's connected, and then the looking at numbers and data is another thing. So these two things come together in this piece in a new way, but it's something that we've done. All the parts of it are things that we've done in the past.
Do you call yourselves internet artists, or do you have an adjective you'd like to put in front of your work like that? Or
not usually. I mean, we work with sound a lot. We worked online a bit. In many ways, sound and music are kind of through line for the project. But usually, we just say we're artists, you know.
And of course, music is all numbers. Basically, and the internet is all zeros and ones, I guess, too, right?
So it's all data.
And where can people find information about this show?
You can find information. You can go to Ryan Lee Gallery website, or you can go to our website, obadike.com. Our last name is O-B-A-D-I-K-E. You can go there. You can find Mindy and Keith on Facebook.
Yeah.
Mendi and Keith.
And it looks like RyanLeeGallery.com also has information about the particular show that is September 10th through October 10th. And we're talking to Mindy and Keith Obadike. The show is called Number Station Furtive Movements. What does furtive movements refer to?
So furtive movements is... one way police officers have justified stopping people, right? So if you move furtively, you know, if they find your movement suspicious, they can justify stopping you.
That's the cause for
this. This is like the guy in Texas or something that looked at or was a woman that made eye contact with an officer and got pulled over for making eye contact or something.
Yeah, I mean, furtive movements, I mean, one of the interesting things about it is that it's anything, right? So there's nothing that cannot be a furtive movement. and right. You know, well, there are other reasons that you might have to prove X or Y. Furtive movement is if the officer says that it was the furtive movement, then it can count, whether it's the way you look or the way you move or where you are.
Right. So anything can be suspicious to anyone.
Is it suspicious to reacting to seeing a police officer in particular? Is that what a furtive movement, or is just a movement that could be suspicious?
I think just a movement that could be suspicious.
It's one of the most common reasons given for the stop. So it's, and it doesn't need any more justification. So that's part of why it's been an interesting term for us, but also it's come up in a lot of people's writing about stop and frisk, because there's no, it is the catch-all when there's no other reason.
It's the most common but least defined.
Right. Exactly.
Is there, do you hope that this kind of project is going to spark some sort of reform or a dialogue about what's going on, or do you think about what the reaction to your projects are?
We do think about the reaction. I mean, you know, the projects for us in some way are a way of us processing the same kind of information that everyone else is dealing with. So, you know, the whole country is dealing with it, but in some ways this is, you know, our way of processing.
I would say that, you know, my first thought is, how can we feel it? How can we understand it in a way beyond, you know, the numbers that kind of lose us when we look at them on the page? And, you know, and ultimately, I think if we can feel it, then we can have a further dialogue, we can have reform. But I would say the purpose for me of the work is to feel and, you know, have a new way of perceiving.
And we should say that, you know, stop and frisk, you know, has already been pulled back in New York. But one reason that we want to talk about it now is that obviously this has been a model for the rest of the country. And so we see these patterns nationally. So even though it's on the decline in New York, and we see stop and frisk has gone down, as well as the crime rate. So the fact that police are doing fewer stops has not made crime increase in New York. And we think that's kind of interesting. But that kind of policing has been replicated all over the country. So it's still a national problem, even while the practice is on the decline in New York City.
And I guess, like you said before, you've set up a kind of a format that you can address other issues too. If this particular issue gets addressed, the lynchings you're talking about doing, what other projects might be included in the, what other numbers are you thinking about looking into?
So we're sort of working back through time. So this project is dealing with sort of police interactions with citizens, and then we're going back to the turn of the last century and looking at lynching statistics, and then after that we're going to look at slave ship manifests, records from slave ship manifests in ports around America. Mm-hmm. But all of those things will be sort of micro radio station broadcasts where we deal with these numbers. And we're really looking at how America has used databases and violence. And we're making sounds from those so we can feel these records.
All right. Again, we're talking to Mendy and Keith Obadiki about their show Number Station, Furtive Movements. That's September 10th through October 10th at the Ryan Lee Gallery in New York. Do you have any shows coming up, or did we leave anything out about this that I didn't ask about?
No. So the live performance is happening Wednesday night at
6. No, 5.
Five.
Was it September 9th, 5 to 6?
Yeah. And then the opening for the piece happens that Thursday evening. That's it for Number Station. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you
for having us.
All right. All right. That went great. This will be on, we're actually going to play it on Saturday morning this week. But we're also going to, we have this nationally syndicated radio news show. It'll go out on that. And so it might be on some other Pacifica stations and such.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tom.
All right. Thank you, guys. Good luck.